in some respects, it's really difficult because, again, you know, what you see on the news bears no resemblance to reality. So it's really positive that, in theory, our government in the UK are relaxing the legislation in terms of masks and things. However, they're really pushing the vaccine massively and now to children. And in Scotland, they're actually tightening the legislation. So we all know that the UK government is in a lot of trouble over holding parties during lockdown and stuff. Mm-hmm. However, the real issue is I don't care whether they held a party. The real issue people should be asking, and a few people are, but not enough, is why were the politicians not scared that at the start of the pandemic, why did they feel safe enough if they really believed what they were saying to be all be going to parties in the first place? So the thing is everything in politics is spun. So from my point of view, I've never worn a mask. I've never complied with any of the regulations. I've gone about my daily business. Now, of course, I'm quite lucky because I work for them myself. I've manifested a life where I'm not dependent on an employee, and I've had my own businesses for years, long before this all started. So in that respect, I do understand that I'm in a different position to lots of people. But equally, you know, I've been up to London in the time when masks are mandated and there's signs everywhere on the train saying you will be arrested if you don't wear a mask. I've never worn one. My family haven't worn one. We've never had any trouble. So I still think a lot of it, we know that legally mandates are not laws. There's a difference legally.
True.
And most people are stepping into their own box, into their own cage, because they have a perception that they've got no choice. And so when the announcements have been dropped that as of, because I ignore it all, Hannah, I don't know what date you're meant to be doing it because I've never worn one anywhere and I'm not going to. But all the main supermarkets have now come out and said, well, we're still going to be asking our staff and customers to wear one. It would be a request to keep everyone safe. You know, we can't legally enforce it, but you couldn't legally enforce it before.
Exactly.
As lots of us have chosen. So it's going to be very interesting to see how many people do keep wearing masks. The general consensus when you see the majority of people walking around are still wearing, well, this is before, I mean, we've only just come into the deadline when they're going. So it'd be interesting. But whenever we've had them drop before, people have still worn them. And with the thing that, well, I don't mind, it doesn't matter to me, and I'm helping everyone else. So not engaging brain or anything at all. So it's going to be very, very interesting. To me, it's just a real example of Stockholm syndrome. You know, since when do we need the government to tell us about our own personal health? They've done absolutely nothing to encourage healthy eating, healthy lifestyles, to encourage education of any age about what we can do with natural remedies, with vitamins, with sensible exercise, reducing your stress. So, you know, long before this happened, I've been under no illusion that the governments really have no interest in your health whatsoever. In fact, most of them are heavily invested in pharmaceutical companies and other companies, which is where they get a lot of their money from, or their mates get contracts. So it's bizarre, this sort of attitude of people. I'm finding it really difficult to be empathetic now, Hannah, because everyone, I look back on my life and I've made so many mistakes. I look back now and I think, how did I ever believe that? How did I think that? How did But you hope if someone comes forward to you and sort of said, did you know that's killing your dog? Did you know that's killing your house? Do you know that this might not be good for your children? Do you know this might improve your health a bit? You hope you'd be curious enough to think they might be trying to help me here. I'll at least listen. Doesn't mean you've got to agree with them, but that doesn't seem to be the attitude. I think the brainwashing has been so intense for so long. I don't know. So I go through round roller coaster. I'm a very positive person. My life is absolutely great. This has had very little effect on me at all, apart from right at the start when my father was in a hospice, and that was horrendous. The way he got treated. I've got a lot of empathy for people that haven't had their medical treatments, for people that are generally scared. My neighbor, his father is in an old people's home, and he was told he couldn't go in and see him unless he had the third booster. So there's a lot of people that have got really, really difficult dilemmas. But there's a lot of people that haven't and are still complying.
Yeah. Those are the ones that I'm just like, okay, whatever happens, like happens is kind of, I know I'd rather give my compassion to like people like your neighbor or like other people who really have something hard to are dealing with. And then who like have to decide whether to get it or not than the people who are just like, okay, we're just going to go along. And I'm like, you, I don't really have any compassion for. It's like, no, I probably should, but I don't.
Yeah, I think mine's worn out by now, because the thing is, it's like, I've been given loads of information on that is completely against my current beliefs, but I still look at it because I don't know. Yeah. So I've never been interested in politics, Hannah, because ever since a child, I've always known they're a bunch of untrustworthy liars. And you can't believe a word you said. I mean, it's so obvious that what they promise and what they deliver are two very different things. So I've almost been quite a laughingstock of a lot of people, of a lack of what you would call general knowledge in terms of the political system, the financial system. But my view's always been, well, why would I waste my energy learning lies? You know, that's my view.
True.
Funny enough, I know more about politics now than I have done the whole of the rest of my life. The thing that's hit home for me massively is there's a lot of people. Let's take one bit of this. So let's take vaccines. Vaccines are a very controversial subject. And, you know, this one we all know isn't a proper vaccine. But let's, for the sake of simplicity, call it a vaccine. Now, I know quite a few people that thought it was brilliant and went along with it. And in my past, like when I've traveled to Africa and things like that, when I was a lot younger, I had the vaccines. I didn't particularly want them, but it was easy enough. And I thought, oh, I'll be fine. And so I get that there's people that think that. But a lot of people I know have come over and are now questioning it. I don't know, the whole way through this 2-year period, I have never heard of one person that thought the COVID vaccines were a good idea, were a bad idea, and has converted and thought now they're brilliant or now they're good.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that's originally thought masks were a bad idea that has changed their mind and thinks now they're good and they're saving people. So surely that tells you something when there's literally no movement. Normally you'll have people coming and going with different opinions as they read different things or learn different things or hear a different opinion. Your mindset quite naturally can go. But when there's no one going from the masks are good and vaccines, masks are bad and vaccines are bad over onto the good side, then surely that raises some suspicion. But no, it doesn't seem to be logging in people's thoughts, which is frightening, quite frightening.
Yeah, I know. I see. You're right. It's like there's nothing good about the vaccines because, I mean, like you said, they're not going from like thinking they're bad to good. Cause like you said, I mean, over the years, people have gone back and forth on like issues like medical and stuff, but it's like everybody who's always thought vaccines are bad still thinks they're bad and just continues to get that more implanted in their mind that they're bad. Yeah. There's no them being like, oh, I actually think this is good now.
And I've been, you know, when for us in Britain, Hannah, We've had it drummed down our throats for ages that you Americans are completely mad that you allow everyone to own guns and how ridiculous you all are because you have so many mass shooting events that we now know most of them are false flags.
Yeah.
But of course, we have been led to believe that the general population, think it's horrific. So, you know, when my daughter was going off to university in America, I was really concerned about the amount of supposed shooting instances in university, which touch wood, we just never have over here. And so we have been completely brainwashed in the UK to think you're a bunch of nutters to let everyone have a gun. And then I had a real eureka moment. So I was pretty set in that opinion. But then I heard a London Real interview with Brian Rose and some American rock musician who I'd never heard of right at the start of 2020 when I was listening to one of his interviews when he was still on YouTube before he was banned. And it was right at the start of the COVID thing, which I saw through straight away. No shadow of my doubt. It was complete bollocks. Excuse my language. Now, bear in mind, you know, I'm in my 50s now, so I'd had a long-term belief that to let everyone own guns was just madness. This one interview completely turned my perspective because he explained about wanting to protect your family, about once you take away the arms, the government have got all the control, because they know.
Yeah.
And the way he expressed it, I just had a complete eureka moment and I got that I'd been completely brainwashed.
Mm.
Now, up until that time, I've been watching a little bit of Ollie Damagard. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's he's amazing. He's obviously not on YouTube anymore, but he's on Patreon. Ollie Damagard, I think it's called Light Up Conspiracies.
Okay. I'll look that up. Yeah.
He's amazing. He's an absolute expert on false flag events. So I'd seen a bit of his stuff. I've no idea how I saw them. I honestly have no idea. But I came across one, saw it and thought, wow, this guy's really on something. So the two bits together. So if someone my age, that set in their beliefs, can instantly get a eureka moment, that's all I'm asking people to do, is have an open mind. But a lot of my friends who I did biology with, they won't even discuss with me, how does a PCR test work? We all know, even the governments have said it can't distinguish between the common cold and COVID, that even the inventor said it's completely unable to diagnose any illness, any infection, any condition. Yeah. And yet I've got people who've got scientific degrees, masters, PhDs, and been working their whole life in that industry that refuse to even engage in a discussion about it. And I'm literally saying, well, come on, fine, just show me where they've isolated this virus, and you're just completely shut down. And that's what I think is unacceptable. You don't have to agree with us at all. And I am very happy to change my mind on things in the evidence if someone presents some other evidence. I've done that many, many times.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be coming back the other way at all.
No, that's what I don't see how they're diagnosing these quote unquote variants so fast. Oh, now they did. I'm like, never in history, biology, science, what you can prove, you see it. And that's all science is. It's what you can prove, the study of like things right there. Okay. And they haven't been able to isolate the virus. So scientifically you can't say it exists. It's something, but you can't say what it is because you haven't isolated it. That's just basic, like fifth grade biology. And then you can't determine a variant from that if you haven't isolated the original virus. And it's madness.
You're so right, Hannah. And it's like, when you see it, you see it. I mean, I bore people because I love the Wayne Dyer quote, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Once you see this, everything else starts falling into things. So I've been a natural health. So I'm a biologist, but I'm also an animal and natural and human holistic health practitioner. I do a whole range of different therapies and things. Yeah. So I've been aware of the Rockefeller control of the natural health industry for years and suffered a lot through various businesses as a result of it. Because when you look at the deliberate agenda to shut down anything other than mainstream pharma, you know there's wrong. Because anytime someone's trying to censor, you only try to shut people up if you've got something to hide.
Yeah,
I mean, it's true. If not, you wouldn't care what they say. You know, if I say to you, you know, I'm a purple dragon, you don't need to censor me because it's pretty obvious I'm not a purple dragon. But if you only need to censor people when they're getting a little bit too close to the truth, because, you know, David Icke's been speaking up for years and 99% of just people ridiculed him. So they didn't need to do that much censoring, even though there were enough people that just ridiculed. And then once that critical mass starts saying, hang on a minute, when the censorship kicks in, you know you've got to dig deeper. Because if you put two experts on the TV and have that degrade and say, just explain to us scientifically how using the same test that was developed before this variant apparently existed, that even the owner says can't be used to diagnose anything, and by the way, shouldn't be used over 30 cycles, but you're using it at least 45. If they were really that confident, why would they be afraid of having that debate in a public forum?
Exactly.
You know, it's very
scared because they know they won't be able to do anything. And the people will be like, wait a second, this other person's right. The one they called a conspiracy theorist, the one that they called an anti-vaxxer, they're actually right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I have, it's really interesting. You know, they say there's no accidents. What we do, I've had lots of different careers to date, and I'm sure I'll continue to have more. yeah. And at the time, I couldn't see a pattern because they were very diverse. You know, I've worked in environmental management, a lot of stuff on land and water quality. I've worked for telecoms on EMF, so know a lot about the EMF side of things. And obviously with 5G, that's even more relevant now than it ever has been.
Oh yeah.
I've worked as a project manager in the public health and our National Health Service on data reporting and stuff, and seen how corrupt that is. You know, I've done all these different things, and now I can see how they all link together because I can see the lies in all these different sectors. I've never worked in the financial side of things, so I've got no inside experience with that. But it is fascinating, and a lot of people criticize a lot of people that are speaking up about this because they say, look, they used to work for this company, or they were pictured with that person. But I can talk from personal experience that sometimes you need to be part of the insiders, not doing awful things to the children things, but sometimes you need to work for these corrupt organizations to see for yourself how bad it is. So I know people that have worked for some of the big charities that were absolutely ecstatic. And so were we when they got the jobs, because, you know, who doesn't want to go and do something that wonderful?
And a lot of them don't know. They don't know like what, because you have to get high up and then you start finding out stuff. Yeah.
So all this thing about pointing at people and saying, well, they used to work for that. Well, they wouldn't know that this awful things happened. If there's so many people that go into Hollywood, they didn't start off by all being.
I know Mel Kay was out there for like a while and she didn't know. And I mean, other actors and stuff like who've come out from that. I mean, they didn't know. They found out after they'd been in there a while. But that doesn't mean they're deep staters or satanic pedophiles. It just a lot of them just didn't know. And then they found out and they're like, okay, we're going to either start our own production company or like we're going to just hit the road and we're going to get out.
So I think, you know, again, looking with everything, the question in my mind, and think, how would you know, that I wouldn't know had I not worked for some of these companies what goes on. And now I do know what goes on. Yeah. I mean, some of them, in fairness, were very good companies, I must say. I mean, Nokia was probably the best company I've ever worked for. So they weren't all bad at all. But, you know, that's the thing about life experience. It teaches you to look at things for different ways. You know, I'm most of my work is with animals and animal health, holistic mind, body, spirit health. And I, you know, unfortunately, when you have as many rescue animals, I've just lost a horse and a cat in quite quick succession. It's awful. They were both very old.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you learn from your mistakes and then you learn for them. So something that a vet might have told you was good, in hindsight, you learn isn't. But the point is, you learn from it.
Exactly. Learning from your mistakes. I mean, the human race has been doing that for years, for thousands of years. Yeah. As long as we've been on this earth, we learning from your mistakes and then being better in the future. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, it is interesting. Again, having studied animal behavior so much, I mean, no other species in the world, apart from humans, have forgotten how to feed themselves. I mean, the choices we make on our food are just awful, and our drinks. No other species could survive. No other sociable species, and most animals live in packs or herds or some sort of social structure. They can't survive if they're inherently selfish, because they have to take the needs. They need their pack. You know, the wild is you know. Unfortunately, I think humans, particularly in civilized Western societies, I say civilized in very inverted commas.
I know, quote unquote.
We seem to have forgotten the fact that we do need each other. We are a sociable animal, and that if you're constantly thinking about yourself and what you need at the expense of others, it will come back to bite you. And I see that happening now big time.
Well, I mean, like I said, we as humans, it's like we want to think about ourselves, but it's like we need to be thinking about others. And with this COVID social distancing stuff, because in our nature, we want to be around other people. Of course, the deep state, it's trying to break down the human will, break down spirit across the world, because any culture you go to, people like being around people. It doesn't matter what country, what area, people love being around people. And COVID, they're like, okay, we're going to split up everybody and break down their will. And I mean, even with the Geneva Convention, like the codes and stuff in prisoner of war status, they couldn't keep prisoners separated because they realized it did too much on their brain. But they're doing that to the masses in all these different countries.
And you and I spoke before off camera, Hannah, you know, we're both lucky that we live in family environments, but there's so many people that are on their own going through this, which is absolutely terrible.
I know.
And I know a lot of people that are on their own that haven't been able to see family members because they might live abroad or a long way away and they can't travel, that have been scared senseless and also haven't got anyone in their communities that will talk and have an open discussion about things like this. And that is
hard. It's breaking down their will. It's breaking down their spirit and stuff. And it's very sad for those. Yeah.
Very, very hard. You know, it is really, really difficult. So I'm not undermining the fact that some people have really, really had it tough. And, you know, I've got a friend that's going to a funeral tomorrow in Australia. Mm. And he's got the difficult decision. If they insist on masks, he's absolutely anti-masks. But also, it's a family member and you don't want to cause a scene at such a terrible, sad event anyway. Yeah. So there's never a black and white answer to anything. You know, there really isn't. And of course, you've got to take the individual circumstance into account. But there's a lot of people that aren't faced with those awful decisions.
Exactly. We can have empathy for the ones who are having really a hard time, but the ones who are just kind of, oh, we're going to get it. Oh, we're going to do it. We're just going to hug today. You're like, no, I'm going to give my empathy to this other person who's actually going through a hard time, like, because he doesn't want to wear a mask at a funeral of like somebody he loves. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, I have empathy for that person. You, not so much.
Yeah, exactly. And I am a very firm believer, and I always have been. I mean, I was very lucky. Both my parents have got very strong moral compass. Mm. And actually both very good at admitting their mistakes as well, actually. And so they absolutely haven't been perfect, but they're very good at sort of admitting when they are at fault, which is really real strength of character. But I've always, ever since I was a tiny child, I've got a twin sister, and my twin sister was always the tallest in the class and I was always the shortest. But I've always had that drive to stand up for anyone that's been bullied or an animal or anyone that can't stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it when people won't do that, you know, because if you're in a lucky enough situation where you can be that rod of support for them, then do it, you know, because it really is your duty, because energetically, I'm a very firm believer that non-action and turning a blind eye is just as guilty as committing the crime yourself. And I see a lot of people doing that, not just in this situation, but in animal abuse, in people abuse, about not stepping up to the mark if they see someone struggling. And turning a blind eye is absolutely disgusting. And you know, shame on you, anyone who's doing that.
I know. We should be helping one another, standing up for people, animals. I mean, it doesn't matter if you see like a person or a being like in distress, you should want to help them, because I'm the same way. Like I said, if I see someone being bullied, I was bullied a lot when I was younger, so I'm like, I know how it is to feel, be that way, or kind of like ostracized, you know, kind of the outsider, whatever. So whenever I would see someone who was by themselves, I would just automatically go over and like say, hi, I'm Hannah, what's your name, just because I knew what it's like to like be alone or whatever. And I'm like, for us as people, it's like we should be wanting to help one another, whether it's like you said, whether this COVID stuff or like talking about and standing up for the children, you know, that are being trafficked and stuff, like animals and stuff. So it's like all across the board, we should just be wanting to help one another.
Absolutely. And you know, as an animal advocate, you know, in a way, I'm quite pleased that this has come up, because most humans, not all, of course, have been turning a blind eye to animal abuse and to a thing, because, you know, slaughterhouses, there is no such thing as an ethical slaughterhouse. Now, I completely believe it's ethical if you're a really good shot and an animal's out grazing and they know nothing about it and suddenly, bam, they're dead. That, I would say, is ethical. But being transported and put through the experience of a slaughterhouse, it's not in any shape or form. So when now things are starting to affect our choices, our restrictions, I'm hoping it's making people look at other aspects of their life in a different way. And I suppose only time will tell if it is or not. But I find it quite shocking. I just to say, I'm not a particularly rebellious person. I'm not stand for bullshit. And if someone tells me to do something that's detrimental to myself or my children, whether they're two-legged or four-legged, I'm not going to do it. You know, it's like when I grew up, we had a saying, Hannah, you know, if you sort of said to your mum or dad, well, I did it because my friend told me to, they'd say, well, if they told you to jump off a bridge, would you?
Yeah. You know,
yeah. Exactly the same scenario. It's exactly. Like, why are you doing it? Because they told you, and you're all, I mean, honestly, how many people could honestly say they think Biden's doing a good job? And yet, why are they listening to any mandate he puts in place? Like, why are you listening to idiots? I don't think anyone in our country's got any respect for our cabinet, for our politicians. Yeah. So why would we listen to them? It's like being at school and having the sort of class joker or someone. You're not going to listen to my daughter's a footballer. She's not going to take strategy advice from me because I know nothing about football strategy. She's going to talk to her coach. Why are you listening to idiots that are completely ignoring the roles themselves and doing it? And yet it's just madness. It's just a special kind of psychological conditioning, isn't it?
I know. I still can't see how so many of the people over here still listen to CNN and NBC and they make Biden. Oh, he's, well, actually the media is starting to turn on him. So I'm like, well, that's at least a good, better sign, because they're starting to, there's nothing to stand up for with him, because I mean, they've been able to splice and do all this, but he's getting to where he's so incoherent, they can't splice the clips together well enough to make him sound coherent and stuff. And then now with that Supreme Court justice resigning, and I think some of the mainstream media is saying, oh, maybe he'll like put Kamala, I think, as the justice, because I think the mainstream media is talking, she can't actually legally, constitutionally take the presidency because of some citizenship or something about her dad or something. There's some citizenship mess up there. So she actually couldn't become president. Even the mainstream media is reporting, even if like Biden died. And I'm like, so why is she vice president?
Barack Obama, did it?
Oh, I know. Well, they were at least covering that up. They're not covering up this stuff with Kamala. They're letting it all go. Oh my gosh.
This gives me hope, Hannah. What you've just said then gives me real hope, because all of my family still completely think I'm nuts when I talk about Barack Obama and, you know, them forging his birth certificate. And
join the club of conspiracy theorists.
Complete nutters. So I so hope it comes out soon.
Yeah.
But if you can do that, you can do anything. If you can, let's face it, if you can make most of the world believe that those planes flew into the Twin Towers, I've had in conversations with really intelligent people that I would, until it's thought quite open-minded, I'm like, okay, let's just think how an aluminium plane wing can slice through that building just like a hot knife through butter. You know, just tell me how that's possible. Well, it is.
And also where those big engines went, those big, whatever they were made of, those things don't melt even at high temperatures. Where did those engines go? Yeah.
And that it was impossible. And they're just like, because they're like, my mind's seen it, it's true. My mind's seen it, it's true. So, you know, it's hard. I'd love to be a bigger person and say, I'm not going to be very gleeful when some of this comes out. But actually I am, particularly with some family members who've been particularly foul.
Well, it's like, we'll be there for them to help, but also it's like, we can get in a little, I told you so, but okay, I love you, so we'll help you through it.
Even if I move forward quite quickly. But then are they going to be able to tell them? You know, I mean, this is a thing. There's certain things they can't tell them. I mean, everyone's heard of the placebo effect.
Yeah.
And that you can be given something that's completely pharmacologically inert, but if you're told by someone that you trust, it can cause a physiological change in your mind or body. But there's also the nocebo effect, which is how curses and things work. So if you're told, they've done loads and loads of studies, if you tell someone they're going to die within a year, 99% of the time they die within a year because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because someone they do it and they've had loads of studies that have shown when people have been misdiagnosed and say, for example, told they had terminal cancer and they would die within a year, they have died within a year, and they've done the autopsy and there was no cancer there at all, but they believed they had it, so they did. And so with some of this stuff, like if you take the vaccine, now everyone's going to have a different opinion about what is and what isn't and what the real agenda is. But just say they cannot go out and tell most of the believer, the public that have taken it, that there's something really nefarious in there now. Because even the ones that are strong enough to fight it out or new technologies would be in such a shock.
Yeah.
Probably half of them would die. So, the longer these lies go on, the more difficult it is to actually get yourself. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah.
You tell a lie and you admit it straight away, then it's done and dusted. But if you build it up, it gets more and more difficult. Oh, what tangled webs we weave when first we practice to deceive. You get yourself in deeper and deeper water. And this is where I see it now, but I do see a lot of good signs.
Oh, absolutely.
That they've really got themselves into too deep and they can't get themselves out of it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're over here in the media, they're kind of destroying themselves from the inside, which is cool to watch because I'm like, they're destroying themselves in front of the public. So it's like, why would you step in and do anything like the good guys or whatever kind of the plan is? I know there's action stuff going on, I think, across the world and stuff, but it's like for the US scenario, it's like, why would you step in and actually announce any of this stuff while they're destroying themselves from the inside? And also with that, taking away the executive privilege, I heard this on Scott McKay, taking away executive privilege of like Trump, remember with them doing that. Scott McKay was saying, if it can be done for Trump, it can be used for Obama and also Biden now. And I'm like, aha. And I'm like, ooh, now that'd be a good way to go in and get some of those records. It's like, oh, sorry, just because you were president or are. No, let's have those records. And so then blast them out for the world to see. So
I'm just so pleased in this life. I'm not in a position where I've got to make any of these decisions because it's a very dangerous game all sides are playing.
Oh, absolutely.
And how much choice they've got. I mean, say, for example, take a really simple example.
Yeah.
Is, you know, child car safety seats. Mm-hmm. Okay, they didn't exist when I was a child. Now, of course, you would never put a child in the car without one of the special safety seats.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need to kill, now the seats exist, you don't need to kill loads of children in car accidents without mm-hmm. them to convince people that they're safe. There's other ways of doing it. And this is where I struggle, although I do get that it's an every aspect of society, it's in education, it's in medicine, it's in industry, it's in finance, it's in politics, it's absolutely everywhere. But I'm struggling to see why you have to cause such devastation to get your message across. Now, I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do because I have not got a brain that could cope with any of that sort of decision making. It takes a very special team. And of course, there always have to be sacrificial lambs. We are in a war, whether, you know, we all know we're in a war. Most of the public don't know we're in a war. Yeah. And you cannot have a war without casualties. So I do get that.
But you're kind of like, where's that middle ground? Where's like, where's the kind of baseline that this is the amount that you only have to use? And then after that, if any of them are. And I think Simon just talked about that recently on his stuff. He was talking about, he was wondering if I think like the White Hats kind of tried to wake people up, but it didn't happen. And because of that, it's caused more casualties and stuff. I mean, that very well could be. I mean, because I mean, we all make mistakes. So
absolutely. I mean, and this is what I mean. And also you can't, I mean, I've learned a lot through my years and you can't account for stupidity. For example, you know, when it's so obvious to you, you think you're going to try a certain strategy and you're going to wake people up. So they're probably way more disappointed than you and I are that it hasn't been more successful. So it's a hideous task. And I'm just very, very grateful that I'm not responsible for it because, you know, those difficult decisions, it is always weighing up, you know, a damage limitation. And there are always going to be casualties from it. So, you know, it is really, really hard. So I, you know, on a daily basis, I'm a vegan because I choose to be, because I'm lucky enough to live in the part of the world to get very healthy, good real food, so I can keep myself healthy with not. But if I was living in the middle of the woods and had to survive, I absolutely would kill an animal to feed myself and my children, but I'm not, so I don't need to. So, you know, it's you've got to look at the right here, right now, and what the choice is. And I completely get that they can't sort of release some big plan because it's changing by the day based on cause, reaction, cause, reaction.
I know there's things like changing all the day. And like you said, I'm glad I'm not at the top, because I mean, it's sad because you can't look at people. Whenever you're like in a war like this, it's like you can't look at people as people. You know that they are, but you got to kind of look at numbers on a spreadsheet like this scenario. Yeah. You get the same case either way, but it's like 1 million people die here, 100,000 people die here. You're going to go with 100,000, but those are still innocent men, women, children who die from it and stuff. So, I mean, it's very hard for the people. So, I mean,
it is. And I don't know, you know, I look at my day, like I was saying to you today at the start, it's been a really long day, and I look at what I've achieved and I'm thinking, I was so busy and I don't know how I could have fitted any more. I'm thinking, look at what they've got to do, and the constant new information, new things. I take my hats off to them, and, you know, you have to take your hats off in a different way to the evil geniuses. You know, we do live in a planet of duality at the moment. Yeah. And, you know, they have planned. The one thing I think they've done really well is the bad ones is the patience. Because when you look back at how long this plan has been executed for, we're not talking about 10 years, 20, 30, we're talking about centuries. So the fact that they've been meticulously and patient enough to put all this in for their sort of evil deeds, I mean, I'd have blown it straight away because I wouldn't have had patience. They wouldn't want me in it. So it doesn't mean I agree with anything they do.
Yeah.
But I can look at it.
Or you have a professional kind of, not respect, but it's like you see them, even though how evil they are, you're like, they have done very well at their evil agenda. They've done very well at it, and they've done very well at placing it. So it's kind of like not a respect, but it's just you have that kind of professional.
You have to acknowledge
in war for your enemy, you have that kind of professionalism with them. You did a good job with that. Even though it's evil, you did a good job with that.
Yeah. And now I've got your number. Now I'm going to look out for that next time. Because I don't think there's a single person that will be watching or listening to this, Hannah, that hasn't been fooled by someone. So, you know, everyone's saying, take Trump.
Yeah.
Everyone, there's lots of discussions about members of his team at the moment. I'm not going to comment at all because I don't know any of them. So I have no idea what's going on there.
Just a lot of drama. I know a lot of people, it's good. It's just drama. It's like, hey, it'll work. Hey, shake the tree enough, everything will fall. It all comes out in the wash. Like the song, it all comes out in the wash. So we'll find out later on if we need to.
Completely. But who can put their hand up and say they've never been taken in by someone? Yeah. I have. You know, I have. I think I've got pretty good intuition. Well, I've got it horribly wrong in some people. Quite recently as well. And hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I've been very taken in by some people and then seen a very, very different side to them. And that's without all the MK Ultra side of things going on.
Yeah.
You know, and also knowing what we know now about the really awful, awful satanic stuff that does go on.
Yeah.
You've been raised in a family, you know, give me a child until seven and I'll show you the man. Well, they know, is a very famous saying. Can't remember who got it. But they know that. And if you've been raised in a family where that is what is done and that's a choice and that's how you get your love and things, and absolutely no way I'm an excusing once they get to adult and you've got free will. Yeah. But you do have to ask yourself how much free will. So most people accept now that if you're a drug addict or an alcoholic or whatever addiction you've got, that you're not operating from a normal rational mindset. And so if we can accept that with mental illness, this is the ultimate form of mental illness. So again, it's so difficult. There are some
changing
people,
brain pathology, brain neurology. I mean, that's what MK Ultra, TV, this stuff. Yeah, it does the same thing that drugs does, just in a different way.
Yeah. So I think, you know, every case is so individual. So they sort of, there's this blanket statement, like, get rid of them all. But one person's scenario is going to be very different to another's. And how on earth do you, you know, do that? If you've got someone that's been horrifically abused all their life and every family member and everyone you've interacted is doing that, I mean, look at what's happened to a lot of the health professionals, the doctors, the people that have spoken out, they're murdered. So you then, a lot of these people get to a point, and I'm not justifying anyone before you jump in, absolutely not justifying it. And I'm the type of person that would rather be murdered than hurt someone else. Mm-hmm. But you don't, if your child, and this is going on, at what age does that awareness, we know that when you're MK ultra'd, that you reach a certain age, seems to be 30, seems to be a cage where they start coming out of it. And then you see people like Britney Spears having a meltdown and then being put back in to be back under control. It's hideous. Yeah. It's absolutely hideous. And these people that have been idolized for so long, and then you find out what their lives were really like.
Yeah.
Makes me very pleased, Hannah, to be normal. I have no desire to be famous at all.
Well, I'm glad, because a lot of these people, I mean, when they started out, I mean, for instance, like I said, I used to love watching Hannah Montana. A lot of the shows that I've loved watching, like Disney shows, I mean, these kids were abused, which is sad because they grow up and then they do the satanic rituals themselves and then abuse children. It's that continual cycle. But I remember with Miley Cyrus, Billy Ray did, it was a few years after she became Hannah Montana. It was a few years after that. So she was still a teenager, or maybe it was a few more years. Anyways, it was later on. He did an interview with, I think, TMZ. And as a dad, he said, if he could go back and change it, he never would have taken her to Hollywood. And it's not until now we realize it's like the Satanism stuff. Because a lot of this wasn't around, because he was already big before a lot of the Satanism stuff really started getting pushed into Hollywood, particularly the Satanism stuff. But he said he would have never brought her out there. And you have to think it's sad for these parents and stuff who really didn't know that Hollywood was, you know, satanic or whatever. And then their kids get out there, but then some of them probably didn't even know it. I know it's so sad, because it's just sad. It's just hurt and pain all around, because the kids get abused and they grow up and then they abuse other kids. And Full House was one of my favorite shows. And recently with Bob Saget, I didn't know he was such a pedophile until I saw the videos. And I was like, because I loved Full House, and then probably the other ones there too. And then Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Oh,
and I'm like, no wonder they've had such the problems, because they were abused, and no wonder they've had relationships with all these older men, because they were abused by him. And it's just, it's such just a cycle of.
Yeah, once you start seeing it. And Hannah, look at the sports things. Look at how brave the American gymnasts have been speaking up about abuse. And when you hear about that, he was abusing them behind a curtain when some of the parents were in the room.
And they,
imagine that poor child not knowing what to do. And if you're.
Because they don't know, they're a child. They're not supposed to know.
And that's the doctor and the mother's in the room with them. They don't know till later that was abuse.
I know.
Yeah. And then you're really, these people that have spoken up are so brave, because they are the ones that are breaking the cycle. And to have the courage to speak up and talk about all those details and everything, I cannot even begin to express how brave those people are in all areas of it, whether they're actresses, whether they're models, whether they're sports people, whether they're a normal person that's been abused by family members.
And to empower others who've also been abused to be like, wow, I'm not alone. And then they feel empowered to speak up.
That's the only way this cycle gets broken. And for so many times, I mean, in the UK, we have got the most hideous record of believing anyone that says anything about sexual abuse. So there's been sexual abuse claims for members of our parliament for going back as long as you can remember. And they've all been hushed up by the police, because, of course, a lot of the policemen. Yeah. Now, of course, not every single policeman, but the ones at the top who are just choosing to hush it up.
Yeah.
And a lot of these children have then been murdered or completely discredited or put in loony bins and things like this. And it's only the courage of still having the tones to speak up at great risk to yourself.
Yeah.
That breaks this cycle of abuse. And as I said, I just am completely in awe of anyone that's brave enough to do that.
I know. And they take back their power from them and the other victims of these just evil pedophiles, the Satanists. Yeah. It's like all these just so evil people. And like I said, I don't have kids, but I can't see how you could harm a child. I mean, I see the videos of Biden like hugging children, and I look at that and I'm like, the mothers are right there. And they just don't even, I really just don't think they know. They just think, oh, it's a president, he's giving my child a hug. But they don't know, because they've been so MK-Ultra themselves, because they're like, oh, they wouldn't hurt my children and stuff. So it's like,
you must lie, mustn't you, Hannah? You're not allowed to cause a fuss. I don't know if that's just a British thing, but, you know, there's etiquette and you behave in a certain way at these things.
One of these days, if I have children, you mess with my kid. I can't say they won't ever find your body, but I'm like, well, you will definitely feel some pain.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're protectors.
I mean, yeah, and you need to, because it's survival of the species, and there's nothing greater instinct than that. So even though I started off a bit doom and gloom, I 100% believe there's good things coming, and good things that are already here. I just am a bit of an impatient person, and I find it very hard. And again, I'm not talking about every single circumstance, because there's some circumstances are special, but in general, to see the victim mentality of most humans. And I'm thinking, actually, as a species, we have gone so far off track. We needed a big reset, not the great reset, but the great awakening. And, you know, it's been a long time coming. We looked at it. I mean, history, I've got a photographic memory, so I could remember history. As soon as that exam was gone, I forgot it, because I always knew it was made up. And now look at what we're finding. We're now finding the missing books of the Bible. Though I must ask my friend Bryce about that, about why are they suddenly turning up? Why are we suddenly finding them? But history, look at different things about the history. I mean, I need to take a week off and watch the history programs about the Second World War, because it's a huge amount coming out about that, and I can't really comment because I'm not educated enough on it, but I know enough to know we've really got to look into it. And the one thing that we can be sure of is what we've been told today is not true.
Oh, absolutely. World War II, World War I, 9/11, the Twin Towers, the Vietnam War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, pretty much all of history. It's like the truth is out there. It doesn't mean completely everything we've been told is false, but it's like the narrative we've been told, I'll guarantee like 99.9% chance, it's like in every scenario is false. And it's like, we got to go get the real facts and then paint actually the true narrative of what happened, like, or not the narrative, but the truth of what happened. Because
And despite modern, I mean, absolutely not all modern advances are bad. Of course they are. But for the first time ever, you know, life expectancies for humans and domestic animals is way down. So, you know, at the turn of the last century, a domestic dog would typically live at least 20 years. Now the life expectancy for a Labrador is officially less than 10 years. It's halved in a century. Because of the choices we're making, because we don't know how to feed ourselves, we're putting up poisons in our food, in our water, in our atmosphere. We're all far too sedentary, you know, and our Labradors and most humans are designed to be moving tens of kilometres a year. When I grew up, we all walked everywhere because we had to. And, you know, we were all super fit, I tell you. You know, because you just were, because every child had to walk everywhere. You either walked or you got on your bike. And of course there were problems about that, and of course it's very nice that now I've got a car in my drive. So I'm not saying that modern things are things, but the balance has shifted so far away from our greater good.
That
we need to bring it back to really look at all aspects of how we live, in my opinion, as humans. And also for those weird things, what we do to our pet, I hate that word pet, but animals that we're responsible for, utter disgrace, you know. And I would never dream of getting an animal and not researching their needs.
Exactly. Like I said, I've got a border collie. She's almost 11 now and stuff. So, I mean, I'm always Googling, trying to find like the best like types of things to give her. Like if there are the medicines that the vet prescribes or whatever, I like look up side effects and I'm just like, are these things actually good or whatever? Cause I mean, they're our animals. They're part of the family.
Yeah. And, you know, they're completely dependent on us to make a decision for them. So we've got a duty of care. And, you know, just like as a parent of children, you've got a duty of care to question everything and see whether it is in your best interest. And sometimes you'll make mistakes. But at least if you've made the effort to do it, we're not meant to be perfect and we're not perfect, but at least try.
Exactly. Yeah. At least make the effort and stuff. But yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of great things coming. It's like we got a lot of bad stuff still too, but I'm like, I think there are good things on the horizon and stuff. Yeah. You know, it takes a little bit to get there. Yeah.
And the truckers, do you think this truckers is going to make a big difference?
Well, I know there's a lot of them. I think what, 500,000? 55,000 trucks, the last I heard, I think like 500,000 people. So I'm like, numbers can, well, I mean, and people in war, numbers can win a war without firing a shot. I mean, I know this isn't war. I'm just saying numbers sometimes, if you've got the numbers, I mean, it doesn't matter what the deep state wants to do. I mean, unless they're going to blow up like a nuke or something, but I mean, they wouldn't do that right now, probably because it looked too bad on them. And then again, they probably would, because they want to kill people, but it's like, you got numbers. So I think it'll be very interesting to see what that does.
I can't wait, Sim. And if I was sitting as a politician in Ottawa now, I would be completely shitting myself, because I'm not funny, but you're not going to mess with a lot of truckers, because they're independent and in numbers like that. Wow. You know, and I just like, I can't wait to see what happens.
I know somebody who's actually joining the truckers. I think she joined them today. And so she's going up there. So, So, and
well,
so
let me know how she's, keep me informed. Because
she was excited when I talked to her. So yeah, I'll have to let you know, because it sounded like she was really excited. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good for her. Big applause and big applause to all the truckers, because, you know, the thing is, I think I heard an interview with one of them and I thought they summed it up absolutely brilliantly. It's not about anti this or anti that. It's about choice, about freedom of choice. And that is what is important. And I think this is where they, again, the evil they, as I call them, have been so clever at causing distraction and division. And, you know, it is hard, but I think, you know, if we're going to defeat them, and we will, and we are, but we've got to unite and we've
come together as one.
On a common goal and not get hung up on an individual decision things. You know, you do you, I do me. And so long as we cause no harm to the planet, other beings, and, you know, each other, then that's just fine.
It's like, it doesn't matter. Different lifestyles, different political views, different ideologies, different religions or not religions. It's like the people who love people and love their countries, America or whatever country you're from, uniting together. And because these people love their country, doesn't matter where you're from, you're over there in Britain. I mean, we're here in the United States. It doesn't matter what country, you love your country. And then it's the other side, of course, that which is small, but it's the people who hate, like, you know, people and want to kill people and want to hurt people. And those are the only two sides right now in this war. It's like, there's the only two sides. It's like, you have your own little sects with like different religion and stuff, but it's like, screw that. I mean, I'm a Christian. I don't care if you're Buddhist, Muslim. It's like, hey, if you love this country or your country, let's all come together. Cause it's like, we got the numbers. Yep.
Hallelujah. I just think you know, absolutely perfect. And then it's been a big lesson to me, Hannah, because, you know, you can get caught up on the, it's such a cliche, don't sweat the small stuff, but it's none of my business what someone else believes, so long as they're not inflicting harm on another and taking another way's free choice. And how boring would the world be if we were all the same? It would just be ridiculous. So, you know, you need variety, you need genetic diversity, you need diversity of opinions, you need diversity of skills. And I think, you know, this has probably been one of the biggest learning points for me, Hannah, over the last year. Has been to sort of butt out. It's really lovely to have a healthy debate, so long as you're not going into it with a view of trying to manipulate someone else into your opinion.
It's like, you can still be friends and stuff, even have difference of views and stuff. It's like, it doesn't matter. You're still supposed to love one another and help one another, no matter your differences.
Exactly. Exactly. So positive times ahead, you know, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, this has been such a great combo. I'm like, I definitely want to have you back on. I'm like, I love listening.
Oh, it's been lovely, Hannah. Yeah. Sorry, it's the delay, everyone. It looks like we're interrupting each other, but there's a bit of a delay. But I love what you're doing. I just wanted to say a big shout out for what you're doing, because for me, being a lot older than you, it's so lovely to see what you're doing with your channels, with your voice, with the range of guests you have, with the range of discussions. For me, it's just inspirational. So really big applaud to you. And thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Catherine. It was great having you.
Take care, everyone.
I called General Flynn. I said, General Flynn, I feel like God wants us to team up to do a Reopen America tour and we get people back to God. And he says, I know. I'm going, you know?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
I believe America is supposed to be that shining city on the hill, the beacon of freedom.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
You gotta make sure you tell me the full thing.
These vaccines are zero liability.
There's so much fake information.
It's that David and Goliath thing.
Their agenda is not God's agenda.
Why will the churches not stand up?
I'm trying to save America.
I believe we're in the greatest revival in history.
Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.